Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That means it's all over.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. I want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing. And
most of all, thank you for listening.
Boy, we appreciate you listening. No question about it. Thanks to Dustino.
You know, Dustin, I got to give a shout out to Dustin. Touch him off for earlier. He was tremendous.
He was tremendous today. And Kevbo.
He's a good teammate.
Yeah. And, of course, Ray. Ray, you are.
He's one of the most misunderstood people.
Misunderstood. And we love you, man. And now we bring in Dan Bernstein and Connor.
Morning, guys.
Happy
Morning,
Monday. Fellas. It's a built tough Monday. No. No, it's on a Friday.
It's not a victory Monday.
Yeah, everything went the opposite way than you wanted.
It did not break the correct way for the Bears.
Yeah.
That's not great.
We need it to
It's so bad that Matt Nagy feels like yelling at the refs again. Did you hear that on the Nagy mic'd up? That was the best part.
Yeah, that absolutely was. Although he didn't have the best reason to yell at referees, that was the Patriots, right? As much as everybody.
Well, that was a bad call.
There were two bad calls in that game.
And you missed the face mask.
They missed the face mask. No doubt about it. When you give the wrong penalty yardage, though, I mean, when you're literally giving the wrong yardage on a penalty, even if it is the Patriots and it's Roger Goodell's, you know, vengeance or what have you. That's not a great day.
That would be a really good story.
Wouldn't it
if
be?
If it turned out that Goodell had been telling the officials that they have to blow calls on the Patriots.
This hold is going to be for 12 yards instead
of 10. That's pretty good. That's good stuff.
The end of that game was great, though. It's a hell of a play. Of course, Edelman makes it look like, oh, you interfered with him. No, he didn't. He just kind of went, nope, doink, just tipped the back of the football.
It was a great defensive play.
That was a great defensive play. Yeah.
It was a throw that you better hope that you have a receiver that can go up and get that ball.
Yep.
Edelman is not really that guy. And yet Brady threw it anyway.
Dan asked me this like 2 weeks ago, I want to say, and I'm now on it. I am now ready. I mean, of course, we do this every year for the last like 3 years, but I am now ready to consider what the end of Tom Brady in New England looks like. Not necessarily, you know.
Well, he is 42. Done,
of course he is.
And he's got a couple injuries.
And he
can't throw a forward pass.
And pressure up the middle has him reacting in a way that he didn't used to react.
He leads the league in throwaways. I mean, just, you know, when you just see somebody coming and you just ditch it, he leads the league. He now gets rid of it quicker and just is trying to get out of it faster. Well,
you know what he's like? He's like a Texas Hold'em poker player who just, you know, we'll wait another hand. Not playing these.
I think the way that you define that is that you realize that the last 7 weeks or so, his numbers are comparable to Mitch Trubisky's.
They are.
So that tells you where Tom Brady is in terms of evaluating what he has left.
And that defense is terrific. It just shows you scoring points in this league, getting to 24, getting to 30, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I have to say, I am a little surprised by. I mean, we always have short memories in doing what we do, and we ride roller coasters because that's just kind of sort of amplify what's going on. But I also think we have a responsibility to show a little bit of wisdom when we can, and the amount of the questions that we're all asking about Mitchell Trubisky because of the recency effect of his play. He's had one great game. He's had some decent games against clearly inferior opponents. And already we're changing the big picture narrative as if we're not aware of the larger body of where we are. We forget things so easily. I'm guilty of it, too. I'm not just pointing a finger here.
No. I think the difference is, Dan, that this idea, and I mean, I'm reading it everywhere, this idea that, you know, well, Drew Brees struggled too. No. And look what happened.
This is 40 starts.
The idea that, well, he didn't get to play in college, so it takes a little more time. I mean, it's all this kind of pipe dream.
Why are we
thing.
Doing it, though?
I don't think we're doing it. I think that it's out there, and I think the Bears are desperate to do it.
Of course they are. Mm-hmm.
And I think that
we're making it easier for them, aren't we? Instead of reminding everybody, let's look at all of it.
Well,
let's look at what
it's too
how
early
miserable
to do that.
This was this
we
year.
We have to wait until they are eliminated. We have to wait until they actually something goes awry. And then we can sit back and pick it apart and talk about it.
I don't understand why when we do, you do have to consider all possibilities. But I think it's a valid point when you talk about, you know, the range of either success or failure with him. It doesn't have to be, okay, well, he's not going to play in the league versus, well, he's going to be like Drew Brees. I don't get the Drew Brees comparisons because I think they're just as over the top as suggesting that he's going to be an absolute bust who can't start another game.
What's missing is that Drew Brees really came into his own at a different team. And that's the when I hear Alex Smith comparison, Alex Smith like couldn't play. Well, and had to leave his team.
But
so
why?
Are you saying that Mitch will be successful someplace else when you're trying to sell that storyline? I'm not sure I understand.
But who looks at Mitch Trubisky and sees Drew Brees?
Right. I don't know.
I just don't see that.
I think it was in The Athletic.
If he's got to leave and go somewhere else, I would hope that he lands with one of the greater offensive minds of the generation, like Sean Payton has been.
That would
be helpful.
Or a spare bear.
I mean, sometimes we
at least one of the two,
you know, that we were and you had been talking about what we mean when we say competition at the quarterback mm-hmm. position, what we mean, when we say, and that usually would mean if it's somebody like Andy Dalton or Cam Newton or any one of these ciphers, placeholders who has been as a relatively successful starter, you're saying that's probably going to be the guy. It seems like that performance, that game, it's a great game. Mitchell Trubisky had a great game. It seems like that moved the needle significantly. And a lot of this is what we're projecting on Ryan Pace. But it seems like the buildup, you know, the insistence that even as things didn't look all that good, Matt Nagy said he's making strides. And then he's decent enough against the Giants. A good game against the Lions on Thanksgiving. A good enough game. He engineers a game-winning drive. And then just explodes on national TV. Troy Aikman is gushing about him. And Wayne Larrabee is terrified of him.
Yeah.
And it's almost like we've taken off the table this idea that next year somebody is going to come in and actually, quote unquote, compete for the job, where we are now, it's maybe have somebody who's not Chase Daniel, who if Trubisky has, if he's bad again, you can turn to somebody who's not going to cash in your season.
I think part of that is because you tried to pose the realistic scenarios, and the most realistic scenario, and to me, the high bar is that he plays this way for three more games and allows the Bears to remove that possibility from the equation because they want to.
If he plays like he did or close to that, because that was historically good for him,
right,
a spectacular game.
Right.
If he does that for the rest of the season, then you've got a legitimate argument.
Well, then you've answered your own question then. That's why we pose it now, because there is the possibility that he'll do that for three more weeks.
Well, do you really think it's a realistic possibility?
No, because you'll have done it against Green Bay, Kansas City, and then the Minnesota Vikings. And
I don't want to say
two defenses are better.
I don't want to say likely, and I don't want to say, you know, probable, but I would not rule it out.
Right, but don't you think, like Dan talked about the insistence here, right? Where that insistence is coming from, whether it's national pundits or whether it's, you know, Bears fans or what have you, that insistence, at least part of it, comes from the fact that Mitch gets paid $9 million next year. And after that, it's a hell of a lot more. So this desire or maybe even need to hang on to whatever the potential is for Mitch Trubisky, especially given his last performance, is rooted in the fact that it is the easiest way to build a Bears winner in 2020, is with a good Mitch getting paid $9 million. How likely that is impossible to tell you, but this is it keeps on going back to the thing we've been talking about since they drafted him. You have a rookie quarterback. He is on a rookie deal. That is the easiest way, at least that's how NFL GMs are playing it now, that's the easiest way to build a winner.
It's just it,
financially.
The overall wanting it to be seems to be empowering us seeing something that might not be there.
Well, it was there for that game.
Yep.
Right? And I mean, when they start adding up all the games where he played well, I mean, they got, you know, they scored 7 points against the Rams, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to get too worked up. And you look at what happened over the course of the year, that will all play itself out. But right now, we are living in the moment because the season is ongoing. When that changes, then the conversation will change. Even with them, even their,
yes,
what was the term? Serious confidence. Whoa.
So it's
not just confidence. It's serious.
Objective.
Well, I think also because he answered, he cleared the lowest bar possible. is he capable of having a game like that? Because prior to Thursday, you weren't sure. And so finally, that was almost like a relief, and all this sort of speculation and optimism is almost like a release, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
He finally rewarded some of our faith in him because he is capable of doing that and being that quarterback.
That's how I've looked at him for a couple of weeks now. I don't know when it exactly started, but because I've seen how low the floor is, I kind of stopped caring about the flashes and just the 36-yard touchdown pass to Taylor Gabriel against Washington. Those kind of I stopped caring about the flashes. I care about the level of consistent play he can achieve. And for the first time in a long time this last Thursday, there was a consistent level of moving the football. The number of third downs he converted on easy throws that his coach helped get for him, that helps maintain a consistent level of winning football, of winning play. That's what I care about with him.
What will you be doing today with this?
Well, we will be talking to Eric Edholm, who we haven't spoken to in a while, our buddy from Yahoo Sports, some NFL stuff at 10, because things did not break the Bears' way. The stuff that was out of their control didn't help them yesterday with any of those outcomes. The Midday Midway, which we rarely do on a Monday, but we get to do it at 10:40. And then Sahadev Sharma from the Winter Meetings. There might be news by 11 o'clock, so we will talk to him about that as we have we'll start Bears-Packer Week. It's going to be unlike any Bears-Packers Week that we've ever had in my 25 years on this station, leading up to all the fun that is going to occur on Friday.
In Kenosha.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Sounds have a good
great show,
guys.
End the story.
I see you soon, baby.
I'm done.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.